Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, here this day we worship you. We give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. We know here this day, Lord, that we are not worthy, Lord, of what you've done, what you want to do. And I just pray that your grace and mercy, Lord, just sweep over each and every one of us. Your grace and mercy, Lord, that it would cleanse us, wash us, sanctify us, set us apart, Lord, to be able to do your will, Lord, in these end time, darkened times that we're living in. Holy Spirit, we give you full permission here this day to have your way, to do whatever you have come here on this beautiful Sunday morning to do. As sure as the wind blows upon us, you are with us here this day. And we just want to thank you and love you here this day. And we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering right there where you're at. If you're grateful here this day, amen. I was going to say to be in the house of God or to be in the parking lot of the Lord, amen. Let's give the Lord further praise here this day, amen. Because we shouldn't be in any church, any parking lot. The majority here shouldn't be breathing right now, amen. So we thank the Lord for his saving grace, amen, here on this beautiful day. Worship team, you may have your seats. Good day, amen. Did great. I'm excited here this day. You may have your seats as well. Pastor Felipe, if you could get the volume control up there in the back, please. Keep an eye on him, Tim. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, once again, I'm excited to be able to preach the gospel here on this beautiful, beautiful, feels like I'm in California right now, amen. This is really, really, really good, perfect weather, amen, to hear the gospel here this day, amen. I know Pastor Felipe gave a lot of instructions in regards to next Sunday, amen, and the grand opening there within the sanctuary where we'll have all the praise, the worship, everything taking place. So I'm anticipating, I pray that you be anticipating what the Lord is doing, amen. And I just believe the church is going to go to another level, amen. Because how many know that the enemy took it to another level, amen? So as the church of God, I truly believe the Lord's going to take it to another level as well, amen. I want to make sure that you bring your mask next Sunday, amen. I believe we'll be having some there at the entrance, but we just, if you have one that you prefer, that you would bring it, amen. And the volume is a little bit low, amen. We're just respecting the neighborhood. We don't want to get shut down, amen. So we're just keeping the volume real low. This is not a street rally we're having right now, even though it's set up like one. This is a Sunday morning service that we're having right now, amen. So, I pray that you enjoy the message here this day and that you allow it to get into your heart and be applied. Amen. Once again, we're outside. Let's stay focused. There's a lot of distractions. There's going to be cars going down the alley in the middle of the message. And let's keep focused here this day. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we get into this morning's message, this will be the last Sunday, amen, speaking on a time to build. Amen. We're going to be going into a new theme for next Sunday with the reopening of the church doors, amen, to the temple of God. There's going to be a fresh theme that we're going to come with, amen. And you'll know maybe by the end of the day on Facebook it should be on. We're going to have another flyer up and giving all the instructions that's going to take place next Sunday morning, along with Father's Day, amen. But that's next week, amen. Right now, we need to stay focused on what God wants to do here this morning, amen. The title of this morning's message, I want to welcome before I start Facebook Live as well. God bless y'all, and I pray that the message of the Lord blesses your life. As we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 10, here this morning, the title of the message is A Time to Build Through God's Grace. A Time to Build Through God's Grace. I'm going to be speaking about Paul here this morning. That wasn't the great apostle Paul all the time. At one time, he was Saul, the Christian persecutor, amen? And we're going to speak about grace here this day and how Paul was able to view his life and why God chose him out of everyone he could have picked. Why was it Saul that would later become Paul? It just blew his mind that God would choose someone like him that was persecuting the early church, that was coming against what the Lord was doing. Amen? So let's go to scripture here this day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. Paul speaking. And the word reads, "For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I am not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results." Reading out of the NLT, New Living Translation, amen. "For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace." Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We love You. Give You all the glory and all the honor, Lord Father God. I pray that our hearts be open, our minds be opened, that we have teachable spirits here this morning, that You can implant Your living word that is alive and active here this day into our hearts, that it may take root, Lord Father God, and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. In Your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here in verse 9, we find Paul saying that he was one of the least apostles. We know that there was the 12 and then there was Paul. Paul didn't get chosen like the other disciples did, amen? He came after the resurrection, chosen by Christ. He wasn't one of the 12. He was still out there doing it up while Jesus was choosing the 12 disciples and putting a game plan together to save the world from sin. And Paul here in verse 9, we find out that as great and powerful as a man he was, he looked at himself as one of the least apostles. One of the least apostles. When he looked at the 12 disciples, he says, man, these guys were good guys. They were fishermen, tax collectors. But I was raw business. I was a persecutor of the church. I was a killer. I would imprison. So before he became Paul, was hardcore. But yet, as hardcore as he was, he thought he was doing the right thing. How many were out there lost and bound, being deceived from the enemy, and thinking you were doing the right thing? So deceived And this was Saul before he became Paul. And it wasn't until that time in there in the when he had an encounter there on the road to Damascus where he came to find who Christ was and who he was. He came to find the purpose of Christ and his purpose. And I believe here, this day, in the end times that we're living in, we're going to have to know who Christ is to find out who we are and the purpose and the assignment that he has given each and every one of us, no matter what our past was about. His grace and mercy, I believe, within my spirit is going to be poured out here this day, just as it was upon the life of Saul, that later would become the great apostle Paul. Paul looked at himself as one of the least of the apostles. Paul was radically converted and changed against all odds. If there was anybody that should have not have made it or even been considered, it was Paul. And he knew that. And I believe there's some here listening to my voice here within the parking lot, through Facebook, that you feel you're unworthy. And you feel because of your past and all that you did that there's just no way that God would want to use your life, my life. And this is what Paul sensed within his life, an unworthiness, the least of the apostles, because he was so radically converted and changed. And I believe sometimes it's hard for us to believe through our radical salvation, through God's grace that came upon our lives and set us free, that it's hard enough to believe that we're saved, more or less believe that we can be used of God, that we can be transformed and changed. Paul had a deep sense of unworthiness within his life. He said, I am the least of the apostles. There in verse 9, he would go on to say, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. Why? Verse 9 says, after the way I persecuted God's church. I believe a lot of times that our salvation can be so radical that it's hard to believe that God can use us because of our past life. I want to let you know here this beautiful Sunday morning that God's grace is greater than your past life. God's grace for your life here this morning is so much greater than who you used to be, than what you feel about yourself and unworthiness. Some of you kind of feel odd here this morning, even sitting down where you're sitting down, thinking that you don't deserve even to be here. But God has a plan here this beautiful Sunday morning. And you're part of his plan. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, the Bible reads, Paul speaking once again, amen? This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What's Christ's purpose? To save sinners. Not just any type of sinners. Because the Bible says we all fall short of God's glory and God's honor. And then he goes on to say, and I am the worst of them all. He was not only a man that felt unworthy, but he would go on to say that I am the worst of them all. Another translation says, I am a chief sinner. But verse 16 says, but God had mercy on me as a prime example. NLT translation says, a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Here in verse 15, we come to find out the purpose of Christ Jesus. And it was to come into the world to save sinners like you and I. And Paul would say, one that I am the worst of them all. But Paul goes on to say, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. So here Paul knew his purpose. He now knew why Jesus chose his life. He knew who Saul was before he became Paul. But in his plan and in his thinking, he said, if I can get Saul right and I can get Saul to become Paul, then I can use him as a prime example to the worst of sinners that I'm able to save anybody. If I was able to do it for Saul, I can do it for anybody. And Paul would come to the revelation that God was using his life as a prime example of what God's grace is able to do in a man's life, in a woman's life, in a youth's life. No matter what type of sinner you once were. But Paul was saying, if Christ did it for me, he can surely do it for you. And it goes on to say, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal glory, eternal life. Christ saved Paul with purpose for the worst of sinners to look at. To look at Paul as a prime example of what God is able to do in one's life and how God is able to use one's life no matter what his or her past was about. The life of Paul was a prime example of salvation proof that the Lord can save anybody. We're living in darkened times right now, and God is looking for a few good men, for a few good women, for a few good youth that would allow his grace and mercy to come upon their lives and not only save them, but use them. I don't know about you, but when I went crooked in the world, I just didn't get high. I was used of the enemy. I was used of the enemy. The deeper I got into it, the deeper I was used of the enemy. I don't know about you here this beautiful Sunday morning. When I got saved, God had a purpose of not just saving my life, but wanting to use my life. And the more I grew in the Lord, the deeper I grew in my purpose. And the assignment that the Lord had given my life. It wasn't to just be born in Texas and raised in Texas, but it would be to make a shift to California. Not just to be in the streets of California and the majority of prisons on the south, southern and northern parts of California. But the Lord had a purpose that I would end up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin one day, preaching the gospel on a rooftop one day, in the back of the parking lot of the church one day. God had a purpose for my life. His grace swept over my life, and it transformed my life. It not only saved my life, but He saved my life with the purpose to shout and preach from the rooftop here this night, this day. If God was able to do it for Saul to become Paul, He would be able to do it, Charlie, to become Pastor Charlie, senior pastor of Victor Outreach Milwaukee. I was the least of my family of seven to be doing what I'm doing here this day, 23 years later. We need to be those end time examples that God is able to save, and even the worst of sinners. What drives my life to still be excited in being a Christian and preaching the gospel 23 years later? What drives my life is what drove the life of Paul. What drives my life in believing for others is, if God did it for me, He can do it for anybody. That's what drives my life. When times get hard in my walk with the Lord, I come to the conclusion, if He did it for me, He can do it for her. He can do it for him. He can do it for that youth member. There's no excuses here this day. With God's grace and mercy present here this morning, Paul knew it well. He knew it wasn't his doing. And why he became radically saved and radically used of God. Paul did not become prideful. He knew it was from God. And why he became an apostle. He knew it was God's doing. God's doing of His grace and mercy upon his life. I place here within my notes, let your unworthiness not defeat you, but be the fuel for your humility and gratitude. Let it be the fuel for your humility and gratitude that we are here this day at the right time, at the right place, with the purpose of God upon our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul goes on to say, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me. Special favor on me. Another translation would use mercy and grace. Amen. It's something we don't deserve. It was something that God chose to pour upon the life of Saul to become Paul, because he had a plan for his life in reaching the worst of sinners. That God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. Paul goes on to say here in verse 10, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured his special favor on me, and not without results. We cannot take credit for who we are today and where we're at this very moment of this day. Paul knew that. Paul knew that he had been saved by grace. It wasn't something he earned. It was something God chose to do for his life, to work through his life. Paul knew it was God that poured out his special favor on him. Why? Paul had godly results working in and through his life. Paul knew it was God's grace. Because it wasn't just God's grace that was poured upon his life. He goes on to say there in verse 10 that and not without results, that there was a proof that God was working in his life. He just wasn't calling himself an apostle, the least of the apostles. He wasn't just calling himself a Christian. But there was results taking place in his life. There was results through God's grace poured upon his life that was allowing him to be used of God in starting other churches and speaking into the lives of men and women and youth. There was results that God's grace, his special grace, special favor had been poured upon his life. There was results, there was proof that it was God that was doing the work, not only in the life of Paul, but through the life of Paul. And Paul knew it well. Paul knew it was God's doing. Paul knew that God poured his special favor, his special grace upon his life. He knew it was from God because he was getting godly results of the grace and mercy upon his life. Not only who Paul was due to God's grace upon his life, but also what Paul did. In verse 10, he says, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. He was saying, who I am now is because of God's grace upon my life. But it wasn't just who he was that he acknowledges God's grace upon his life. But he also was able to acknowledge that what he did, the hard work he put in, he was able to acknowledge that that also came from God's grace working in and through his life. We got to be careful when we use the word grace. Some people think they don't have to do nothing because it was all done at the cross. No, that's incorrect grace. That's incorrect grace. There's the work that needs to be done. And there's a people, an army that the Lord is raising up in these end times called Victory Outreach International that is all around the world in over 33 countries putting some work in. But those that truly just believe grace, 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 stay with me and you'll agree with me. The work that Paul was speaking about, amen, he even gives credit to grace that allowed him to work hard, harder than any of the other apostles. It's funny that he looked at himself as one of the least of the apostles, but when it came down to putting some work in, he claims that he worked the hardest out of all the apostles. As we stay focused here this day. Paul knew that who he was because of God's grace. And what he did, the hard work that he did, was solely because of God's grace as well. So it wasn't his works. For those on grace, grace is powerful. He wasn't basing it on his works. He was saying that the hard work he put in also was acknowledged by the grace of God that allowed him to work harder than all the rest of the apostles. I don't know about you, but I got 23 years saved and I'm still working very hard by the grace that has been poured upon my life in preaching the gospel. I still wake up exhausted every day in preaching the gospel, in counseling the lives of men and women, and bringing salvation. It takes work, but that work needs to be done with the flow of God's grace working upon your life. Paul knew. This is how Paul knew that the work, what he was doing, that he acknowledged the grace of God, that it came from the grace of God upon his life that allowed him to work harder than any of the others. Paul knew that the work that was working through him was no longer his work. He knew it was no longer his work. For one, he was getting godly results. He knew it was no longer, and I feel sometimes that there's people working hard in the church, but not according through the grace and mercy upon their lives. Paul was able to credit God's grace upon his life and not only who he was, but also in what he did, based that he knew that the work that was taking place in his life now was no longer his work, no longer his idea. But he came to find out that it was God's work, God's will working through his life. He knew not just who he was through God's grace, but what he did and how he worked was given also by God's grace upon his life. I no longer work as I used to work when I was in darkness, going the wrong way. I no longer am the same person, and I no longer do the things that I used to do. Paul accredited everything to God's grace upon his life, and why he was in position, and why he was that prime example being used of God for all to see that God's grace is able to save any broken life, any sinner in this end time that we're living in. God is able to transform and to use any man, any woman here this day. It's not based on what you feel about yourself this day. It's based on God's grace, on how He feels about you and what He thinks about you. He wants to use your life. He just don't want to save you. He wants to use your life. And I believe a lot of times people get saved radically, but don't get radically used by God. Because it requires grace to allow us to work hard. I believe if we're going to grow this church, and the signs and wonders are going to take place through God's grace and mercy, He's looking for some men, some women, some youth that are not only saved, but are willing to put some work in according to His grace upon your life. And I am convinced that we could put work in for the enemy and getting no results or just bad results, that we can put some work in to get some godly results, because the work that He has given us comes with results, comes with the proof, not only in the life of Paul, but in the life of your pastor, in the life of Pastor Felipe and his wife, and the leadership, and your life that is here this day, and your lives that are listening on in Facebook right now. God just didn't have a plan to save you. God had a plan in using your life through His amazing grace and mercy. If He did it for Saul to become Paul, if He did it for me to become Pastor Charlie, He can do it for you. It's not based on who you were. It's based on today, who God is and what He wants to do in your life. I've heard too many years now, I got your back, Pastor. I got your back. I got you. That sounds good. It sounds like faithful talk. It sounds legit. It sounds like you're down. It sounds like you're ready to get busy. Where are they at, Pastor? Just let me at them. Where are they at, Pastor? Where are they at? Where are they at? Where are they at? Whoa, where are they at? But a lot of times we can give that lip service. Say the right scriptures. Tell somebody else about the love of Christ, but have no proof within our lives. Because there ain't no work getting put in. We're living in end times, and some work is going to have to be put in. And there's nothing better than going to work for Jesus. That'll never do you wrong. That would always do you right and give you the results you've been looking for. It's almost as being a Christian, putting in no work and getting the results of the Lord. It's almost as ironic as not going to work all week and expecting to get paid. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. God's grace and mercy is here this morning. And yes, He wants to bring a radical salvation upon the city of Milwaukee. But if it's going to take place, and we're going to grow this church, and we're going to allow God's grace to lead the way, we're going to have to put our hands to the plow. We can't do it long distance. We can't even do it from a place of prayer. We got to put some feet into it. Paul knew within his life that it was no longer his work taking place, but God's work taking place in and through his life. I believe one of the biggest blues clues for Paul was the results that he was getting. Was not only for his life, great results for his life, but the results in setting and building church after church after church. As we have internationally with our founder, Pastor Sonny, starting the East LA there in a humble beginning and working with drug addicts and gang members. And all of a sudden went to the city next door, another city. And all of a sudden went to another state. And all of a sudden we find ourselves 50 plus years later all around the world because the Lord had a plan for our founder in reaching sinners of the worst type all around the world like you and I. And in return to become prime examples of what God is able to do in a man's life. What God is able to do in a woman's life. You need to become a prime example of God's grace and mercy. We're living in end times. The enemy's putting some work in. We need to put some work in. Some God work in. And as we do, we'll be sure to get godly results that will enable us to give all glory and honor unto Jesus, knowing that it was His grace that not only saved us, and changed us, but is working through us. I have a question here this day. Whose work is working through your life today? Who are you putting in work for today? It's important because there's a source behind it. There's a master behind it. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. You have to choose here this day. What work is working through your life here this day? Is it an 8-to-5 work that you're thinking about right now? That's not the work I'm talking about. And that definitely was not the work Paul was talking about, because he had a job too. He was a tent maker. He wasn't talking nothing about how many tents he built all week long. He didn't say nothing about how much he got paid for building tents all week long. He was speaking about the work of the gospel taking place in and through his life. It had nothing to do with how many tents he built that week. Paul had to work. We got to work. But who are you working for? And what work is taking place in and through your life? Because you're going to get results. Whether they're worldly results or godly results. Paul knew that he belonged to the Lord. Paul knew that the work he was doing belonged to the Lord, and that's why he was getting godly results for the work that he was doing. He knew it was from God. Are you getting the godly results that you're looking for right now within your life? And if you're not, it possibly could be that the work of God is not taking place in and through your life. Pastor, that's a tough message. We're living in tough times. We're living in tough times. You're going to have to put in work one way or the other. I believe God is looking to use a man, a woman, a youth member to pour out His special favor of grace upon somebody's life here this day in the parking lot, upon somebody's life, listening through Facebook here this day. The Lord's ready to pour His grace, His favor, special favor upon your life to get results of what He wants from your life, for your life and for somebody else's life. To pour out His special favor of grace, to accomplish results according to His end time plan. God has an end time plan for the church, which represents you and I. As I'm preaching the gospel, God is looking into hearts right now. And He's looking who He can pour His grace and favor into. He wants to pour. He's full right now. My vertigo is kind of left now, so I can walk the edge now. Amen. Because I was used to walking the edge. Amen. He's looking for someone He can. Pour His grace into. Problem is, sometimes we get filled at the Sunday morning service, but there's cisterns, there's holes in our lives, and it just pours out as quick as it just poured out of this bottle. By the time you get to your car, you got the whirly music bumping already, cussing on the phone and making this call and that call. Who are you working for? It pours right out of you. Instead of leaving filled here this day, not can't wait to get back home to that prodigal son or daughter so that you can give me your water. Janie, give me your water. I need some more water, man. Tíramelo. Throw it. Amen. So you should be on full right now, hearing an end time message that's coming from God through His grace, through my life. He's at work through me right now. He filled me up so I could pour myself out here this day, so you could be filled up to get back home to deal with that husband, that wife, that son, that daughter with God's grace, where you can't wait to get back home to start pouring love into their life, just look, knowing that there's going to be godly results because you've been filled up this morning. And you're waiting to get back home to go fill someone else up with God's grace and mercy so they can become radically saved as well, as Saul was to become Paul, as Charlie was to become Pastor Charlie, and so on, and so on, and so on. The grace and mercy of the Lord is sufficient. Two water bottles have run out. But there's no running out of God's grace and mercy, especially when there's some chief sinners that got to get dealt with. Amen? His grace is, my finished. Paul said, I've been poured out like a drink offering down to the last drop before he died. He said, I fought the good fight. I ran the good race. Amen? I was like a drink down to the last drop. I poured my life out for people to get saved. So I'm all poured out. And prayfully that my one vessel has poured into all your lives so it can be multiplied through your life, the sheep of the church. So when you go back home and go back to the hood or wherever you're going to, Taco Bell or wherever you're going, you should have some grace and mercy to pour into somebody's life that's all dried up here this day. God is looking for some prime examples that He can lift up, that He can use and say, look, I did it for him. Look, I did it for him. I did it for her. I did it for her. Why can't I do it for you? He's looking for some prime examples. Some proof in the church. Some evidence of His grace and mercy at work. To where it's manifested so the daughter or the son can see it with their very own eyes. Mom and dad have been loving me long enough. It's time to answer the call. It's time to stop running game and answer the call of God's grace and mercy and purpose upon my life. He's looking for prime examples to bring an end time salvation that is so radical. This is how much the Lord wants. He wants to use your life so radical. Ask me, Pastor, how radical does the Lord want to use my life? I'm glad you asked. He wants to use your life so radical that it's going to be more radical than what the enemy's doing all around the world right now. It's going to top what the enemy's doing right now in the inner cities, in the suburbs, all through the nation. What God wants to do in your life and through my life, through the church, is so radical that it's going to take the eyes off of the world and back on Jesus, back into the church to be radically saved, to be radically used. Hallelujah. It's going to take something real radical for the Lord to do, to bring the focus and eyes fixed on Him in these times that we're living in. In the early church, He would choose the chief sinner to become the prime example of what His grace and mercy was able to do in and through one's life. And in the end time church, I believe He's using victory outreach all over the world and what we are calling the third wave of grace and mercy that is forming and about to sweep and be poured over the world, over the sins of the world, to that to be a radical salvation where every city is going to be talking about what Jesus is doing. Every news channel is going to be talking about what Jesus is doing, not only in the church, but what Jesus is doing in the street corner, in the hood, in the prostitute's life, in the alcohol life. It's going to be radical. If the Lord started the work of the early church using a radical ex-banger that would become the great apostle Paul, how much more? I think the Lord's wanting to finish so strong. And He's looking for the least. Ooh. He's looking for the weakest to get the job done through. Because His grace is present here this day. And His grace is sufficient, He told Paul. There's no lack of grace here this day. It's able to save anybody's life that you're thinking right now will never get it right. God wants to use the foolish things of the world, the weak things of the world. People like you and I all put together worth nothing. But with His grace and mercy, His precious blood, of forgiveness and love. Mi vecino, que Dios te bendiga. He's a Christian neighbor. I told him he looks like a mobster in that nice white truck. Straight from Mexico, works hard every day, got a brand new fancy truck, owns a house right here next door. Why? He works hard, but he's working for Jesus. He got results in his life. He just ain't got a few amens in his life. He's got some results. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to do something radical, not only for you or for your children, but to use your life radical? Wherever you go in the street corner and you start preaching the gospel, people start coming. People start getting saved radically. Is it because of you and I? God's grace and mercy, being poured out as a special favor upon our lives. He's not looking at our wrongs. He's looking for a vessel here this day that he can pour himself into. Through grace and mercy that he can pour himself through. He needs vessels just as much as the enemy does. As we stand here this day at your chairs, amen. Paul said it best. I'm unworthy. I'm one of the least of the apostles. He was humbled that God would choose a man like him after all the dirt he put in. He was humbled. See, the problem with the people of today, God starts using them, they become prideful. And pride comes before a great fall. We need to stay humble. We need to stay feeling unworthy, knowing that God's grace is the one doing the work. He's just looking for some men and some women in position here this day. That's it. The Lord is not looking at your past. He's looking into the future right now. The present times that we're living in. And he's saying, I need a few souls that I can transform with my grace to become. I need a few Pauls in the church. I need a few Pauls in the church. And I believe they're here this day. We serve a forgiving God, a loving God that keeps no score of our wrongs. And his grace right now is here. Looking for a life to fill. Father, here this day, we worship you. We know that we are the least of the least, Lord Father God. We know we don't belong here this day. We know it was your grace and mercy, Lord, that forgave us at the cross of Calvary while we were still yet sinners, ungodly, powerless sinners going the wrong way. But one day your grace caught up with us. It came through a man's life or a woman's life, and even though they were just speaking to us about you, Lord, there was grace behind the words. That came from you, Lord Father God. Paul said he was just simply a servant. That's it. He looked at his life as just merely a servant of the Lord. Paul knew it was God's doing. He knew it was God's doing. Oh, Father, I pray right now that you touch every man, every woman. Here in the parking lot, there through Facebook, Lord, that their faith be increased here this day by your grace that is ready to be poured right now, Lord. Your special favor of grace to be poured upon that man's life, that woman's life, that pastor's life, that sinner's life. We're going to sing a song right now. And I just want you to close your eyes right there. Tomorrow, next Sunday, we're having a big service. The doors are opening up. We're having all kinds of meetings right now. I want to see you there. And I want to see you bring somebody to the saving grace and mercy of the Lord. Not just because they're messing up. I need to drag them to church. No. Because God's got a plan for them. Bring them with that mentality. Whatever the song is.
Fill me up.
feel you right there where you're at.
Till I overflow.
He wants to overflow from your life. He wants it running over into somebody else's life. Yes, Lord. Feel you right there where you're at. Yes, yes, yes. Tell them to feel you right there where you're at.
Fill me up till I overflow.
Exactly what the Lord wants to do. Fill us all up with His grace and mercy, with His purpose, with His plan, His anointing, His power that cannot be matched by any devil, any demon. I want to say, the prayer of salvation here this day, I think it fits with the message, amen, that Christ came to save the lost and the bound. But He needed some disciples. Could have done it all alone. But He wanted to use men, women, and youth, amen. 2,000 years ago, that was His plan. 2,000 years later, He still wants to use man, woman, and youth, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. Right there, just repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, forgive me. By Your grace, my faith here this day, for I believe that You not only died for my sins, but that You also rose again from the dead on the third day. I ask that You enter my life as You did the life of Saul in becoming the great Paul. Use me as a prime example for all to see that it's You that is at work in my life and through my life. I ask this day that you become my Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this beautiful day. Praise the Lord. Just a few instructions. Remember, next Sunday, we are going to town. Amen. We're going to town. There's a lot of stuff going on, but I believe it. We're opening the church's doors. Amen. That I just got a thought that tomorrow after the service, we're 1 o'clock, we're going to have a rally set up somewhere in the city, in the inner city, that we're going to go out and take the message of Christ that was given in the church beyond the walls of the church. And we're going to go, it's going to be followed with the rally. Amen. So if you want to be part of it, bring shorts or t-shirts, amen, because we're taking the gospel to the streets, amen. God bless you guys. Love you guys. Any questions? Oh, it's Father's Day that day. Man, we're so radical, I might get all the fathers to go hit the streets, amen. Praise the Lord. Invite somebody here this next week, amen. God bless you. Love you guys. See ya.